This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Chief Justice, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning and thank you for inviting me.
Are you tired at all?
No.
Doesn't the Chief Justice ever get tired?
Well, like any other human being.
There's a lot of work to be done.
Well, like any other person, you do get tired at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But
We soldier on. Hashtag country duty. Chief Justice, I just quickly need your comment on this. So over the past 2 hours, we've been discussing this issue around unemployment, the unemployment rate. And we know that in South Africa, we face a bigger issue, which is the issue around unemployment, inequality, that the country and the government also emphasizes every single time. Just remarks from you when you look at the unemployment rate and where it stands at the moment, and from your experience and what you've seen from the village that you come from, how this unemployment rate affects people.
Well, there's a correlation between unemployment and crime, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
which therefore requires of us, the state, the private sector, to do everything within our power to make sure that as many jobs as possible are generated so that people can have what to eat, but also with a view to reducing the crime rate that some feel compelled to participate in as a result of mm-hmm. having absolutely nothing to tend to for survival.
I was actually speaking about my experience with a cousin of mine who has been unemployed for a number of years. He then started the card fraud. And he has been arrested a number of times for the same crime over and over again, but he still finds himself going back into the same situation. So I wonder whether you think, do you think there's something that the judiciary can do to help alleviate this issue around crime in terms of suggestions and how the country can find itself out of this continuous pit hole? Because some even argue that we can continue digging ourselves into this hole, also considering where you find the youth unemployment standing at around 55%.
Well, remember, the judiciary really addresses symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
We need to address the root causes of the challenges that confront us. Why is it that we haven't made the kind of difference that we set out to make since we became a constitutional democracy? I think it is time to embark on a very brutal introspection as a nation and check how we have performed and why is it that we haven't been able to generate as many jobs as we have.
Mm-hmm.
On what terms do people come and do business in South Africa? Do they come with a full understanding of our history and the challenges that come with our history, the commitment that we have made, particularly in the preamble to our constitution, and do they come with understanding that they come not only to make money, but also to help us resolve the challenges that we set out to resolve as a nation?
Okay, and let's focus on the judiciary. Where would you say the judiciary finds itself now? Are you proud with the transformation that has been seen in the judiciary?
I'm very proud with the transformation that has taken place in the South African judiciary. I'm proud with the performance. There is still a long way to go in the area of performance, but overall, I'm very pleased with the progress that we have made.
0861-987-000, 0861-987-000. We are in conversation with Chief Justice Mogoeng Mogoeng. He is here in studio. So any questions that you have for the Chief Justice, you can call us on 0861-987-000. That's 0861-987-000. Chief Justice, here's another important issue, and this is something that you have been emphasizing a lot on, the number of constitutional court judgments with regards to this issue as well. And this is an issue that emphasizes ethical leadership. How would you describe ethical leadership and then compare that to where, from your vantage point at least, where it would seem as though that we're dropping the ball?
Ethical leadership encapsulates the very essence of Ubuntu as we have come to know it as African people. at the heart of it is integrity, honesty, and truthfulness. Never make undertakings to those who look up to you as a leader, which you don't mean to carry out. Never make an affirmation of office or an oath of office when in fact you know that it's just one convenient step towards the assumption of your high office. You really don't mean any of what you undertake to do. When ethical leadership finds expression, you never say, you never promise what you don't mean. You never assume a responsibility you don't have the capacity to be truthful to. You never undertake a mandate that you will never carry out. That's the essence of ethical leadership. It's all about fairness. It's all about justice. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the ingredients of ethical leadership.
That are very important. You speak about the issue around taking an oath of office and affirmation. And here's the biggest issue for me, is that you've had many, at least with the fifth parliament, you had many MPs, 400 MPs taking an oath of office and saying that they will uphold and defend the constitution and ensure that the constitution is, the values of the constitution are maintained. But when it comes to carrying out those duties, that doesn't even translate.
And the problem is, why is it that there seems to be a paucity of commitment to ethics in our country? That is the question that we don't seem to have asked ourselves. If you have never been brought up and made to commit growing up to those ethics that are fundamental to ensuring that you will do what you promise to do, then when you are a grown-up already, no magic is ever going to pounce itself on you and turn you into what you've never been. When you get to the level of becoming a judge, an MP, or a journalist, much of what you're supposed to be in order to fail or to succeed, you already have. So my issue is, we've got to reflect on how we raise children. We've got to reflect on what we teach them. We've got to reflect on whether society, including faith-based organizations, do what they need to do to instill the values that will ensure that when you become a member of parliament, provincial legislature, MEC, minister, president, you have already internalized those critical values that will make you an ethical parliamentarian or public servant.
And today, later this afternoon, you'll be receiving around 400 names. And the discussion that we were having yesterday was that among some of those 400 names are people that the court has found, even the Constitutional Court has found, those people lied or were dishonest, withheld information from the courts.
Well, the bottom line is, there is how far the courts can go. Society, an institution like the one that you operate within, have another role to play. Mm-hmm. The electorate also have a role to play.
The separation of powers. And would you then just quickly explain to us, why is it that the 400 names would be given to the Chief Justice?
In fact, it's a whole lot more than 400 names, because names of those going to the provincial legislatures as well must be handed over to me. And that is because the Constitution imposes a responsibility on the Chief Justice to determine when the first sitting of Parliament and the provincial legislature are going to take place, to preside over the election of the heads of the executive, both at provincial level and national level, and the election of the speaker at both levels as well as the chairperson and deputy chairpersons of the National Council of Provinces. So I'll be given the names and pass them on to the officials of Parliament in preparation for what is going to be happening in due course, which is precisely what I've just alluded to now.
So there's no scrutiny of the names or vetting of the names?
It falls outside of my responsibilities to do that, except as at the time when I'll be reflecting on them just before the official session at which the officials I've alluded to will be elected. Then I must be satisfied that each and every name meet the requirements, which is no criminal record or anything of the sort.
Is that a problem at all, that the Constitution only speaks about somebody who may have had a criminal record, I think of up to 12 months, if I'm not mistaken, with an option of a fine? Shouldn't that legislation that looks into who qualifies to become an MP also look into unlawful conduct of those people? It may not have been criminal conduct, but the conduct has been unlawful.
Well, I think the legislation is fine because it allows for society to assume its critical responsibilities of identifying who's going to represent them, and as they vote them into office, to be satisfied that those are the people that they are proud to be represented by. Remember, the judiciary can only go so far. Mm-hmm. And even both the executive and the legislative arms of the state can only go so far. The critical responsibility lies with the public. We've got to stop complaining, but act more. We must stop outsourcing our thinking responsibilities to others, but assume them ourselves and know just how much power we command as the electorate, as the citizenry, so that going forward, nobody ever get to assume a position of responsibility in our name whose credibility and capacity is suspect. Never.
So it's up to the people.
It is up to the people. There's a lot of education that must go out there. We've got to reflect all sectors of society. We've got to reflect on what is it that we pay attention to the most. Remember, we are 25 years into democracy. What has given us reason to be concerned, and what are we doing about it? There is what others can do, but there is what you and I, as citizens of South Africa, need to do. And I don't think we have been as active as we need to be in ensuring that things are done right in this score.
Okay, then. Let's quickly go to the line, 0861-987-000, 0861-987-000. I wonder if there's anyone who can give the Chief Justice just a pen and probably a notepad as well so that he can note down some of the questions. Please, as you ask your question or make your comment, please make sure that you keep your comment or your question short. Please, please, please keep it short, simple, so that we can get through as many calls as possible. Welcome, William, to Power Talk. Hello.
Morning, Aldrin, and morning to the Chief Justice. Chief Justice, I've got a problem here. When will the judiciary operate its own department with the finances and everything and move away from the Department of Justice? Two, when will we have a special court to deal with crime, like a cash in transit, whereby this court will operate at night, whereby these people are being caught? The Department of Justice, the NPA, they trial these people so that the people can see that the justice is running its own course. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, William. Let's go to Bule in Soweto. Good morning, Bule.
Morning, how are you?
Good, good. So you can go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. I believe that we, as a country, we need clean governance from the head. Suppose our constitution changes to the extent where the citizens choose the presidential candidate, no longer the political parties. So if that happens and the majority of the public nominate Chief Justice to be the head of the state, my question is, will he be able to raise his hands? Because in my view, he actually displayed that clean governance. So that is my question to him.
Thank you so much, Chief Justice. Before you respond to that, let's go to Lotta in Centurion. Good morning, Lotta.
Good morning, guys. Chief Justice, my question is that we've been called brown people by Jacques Revald, who's the leader of the Freedom Front Plus. And I've got a Form 2 from the Equality Court that I wanted to complete. But on Part C of that form, it requires that I must vanish the ID number of Ronewald, his residential telephone number and the cell phone number. I do not have this information. How would such a case proceed and being called brown people?
Okay, thank you so much. Sorry, thank you so much, Lotta. Chief Justice, the requirements that needs to be attached when you want to bring a case against a certain person?
I think he must just fill the details that are available to him, go to court. They will not deny him the opportunity to have his case prosecuted just because he doesn't know details that that are not his.
Okay, Lotta, I think maybe one other thing that you can do is that if you go onto the website of Freedom Front Plus, you'll get an address and you get a contact number and use that. Is that a suggestion?
Well, he may, but of importance is the person that you're lodging a case against must be identifiable. Mm-hmm. And I think Mr. Groenewald is a public figure. It won't be such a challenge to locate him.
Okay, and then the other questions from Pule. Would you put up your hand?
It's a very difficult question. I was hoping that it wasn't going to come because circumstances helped me to evade it when I was in Newsroom Africa. But here is the bottom line. If circumstances permit that I consider such a responsibility, I would have to reflect on the conditions. Why would anybody want me to be president? What are the conditions? Because I would never want to assume any responsibility where I'm a puppet. I want to be a puppet of the South African public. That's all. I want to be the puppet of the Constitution and the law. But if anybody were to come with money and want to turn me into a tool that can be manipulated from some point so that I don't do what the responsibilities that go with an office demands of me to do, keep your office. Because all I've ever wanted as an individual from a tender age was to never seek a position, to never gun for any position, because I believe that I believe in a job. I believe in service. Mm-hmm. So it must all be about serving people. So when that stage comes, if it does come, I'll reflect on it very deeply, which is a responsibility that is irreconcilable with that of a Chief Justice, by the way, and then take a decision at the time.
Okay, and then there was another question. I just forgot the name of the person, the first question.
Special Courts, yep. William. A special court may serve the purpose, but there is a broader picture. The broader picture is just capacitate the criminal justice system, the police, the National Prosecuting Authority, the magistracy, and the higher judiciary well. When that is the case, most of these cases that have given us reason to be concerned will be expeditiously and more efficiently dealt with. You wouldn't have the problem to complain about cash in transit hikes, drug trafficking, and even corruption, because the machinery would have been engineered in such a way as to root out these challenges effectively.
And isn't that the problem right now? That if you look at the Hawks, many people have been complaining that the Hawks is not living up to the mandate that it has.
Well, you will always have a problem if there is interference with the independence of institutions. So what is demanded by these circumstances of the citizenry is to be on high alert, to be extraordinarily vigilant against possibilities or inclinations to manipulate institutions of state. Remember, when people exercise power, they want unlimited power. And at times it escapes us even when they begin to interfere either with the judiciary or another institution of state. We've got to be very vigilant. We must never cover up for anybody, but we've got to make sure that our institutions are left to do what they were established to do.
But wasn't that the reason behind the Glenister case as well? That the push was to try and make sure that the Hawks are independent from the minister and independent from any political interference. And the sense that you get now is that you find that you feel as though that the Hawks are bowing to pressure from the ministry. Unlike the Scorpions, or let me ask you this question rather, let me ask you this way. Do you at all think that the dissolution of the DSOE, which was famously known as the Scorpions, was a wrong move by the country?
Well, the decisions of the Constitutional Court say so.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only go so far as to say when the opportunity arose for us to pronounce ourselves on whether it was the right or the wrong move, we did. And there are at least two cases on that score. But here is the point. any institution, even in the private sector, is capable of being as compromised as those who are in authority want them to be compromised. This station can be thoroughly compromised depending on who is in control of it and what determines the policy direction of the station. Anything is capable of being compromised depending on the top leadership.
Mm-hmm. We're in conversation with the Chief Justice, Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng, 0861-987-000, 0861-987-000. Given, I'm going to ask you to be as short as possible, and then we're going to go to Power News headlines, and the Chief Justice will respond to your question after that. You can go ahead.
All right, morning, Chief Justice and elders. You know what? It's not a question. I just want to give a compliment to Chief Justice. He's one of the best ever men I've ever seen or had him with. He's being firm in ethical leadership. And then I remember listening him on watching him on ENCA talking about ethical leadership, and then he said that ethical leadership leaves no room for corruption. And then even today, he's still talking about it. I salute you. I salute your integrity, Chief Justice. Thank you.
Well, the integrity of the Chief Justice is being saluted. There are a lot of people actually on Twitter as well that have a lot of compliments, but also some criticism, Chief Justice, which we'll deal with after Power News Headlines. It's time now for Power News Headlines. Okay, the newsreader is not there, in case you will be there in the next few seconds. So let me just quickly go through some of the tweets that we have here. We have Tabang, who says, please ask Mokgweng CJ as to why is it that land claims court does not have a permanent judges. Why is it abandoned? Chief Justice, quickly actually on this point, and this has been an issue that has been raised a lot of times, that it does not have permanent judges, the land claims court.
It is the responsibility of the executive in collaboration with parliament to produce legislation that would facilitate the appointment of permanent judges of the Land Claims Court. I don't appoint judges. Once the machinery is in place, I will, through the Judicial Service Commission, make sure that posts are advertised, interviews are taken, names submitted to the president for appointment. It's a matter that is completely outside of my control. I've done all I needed to do to highlight the importance of permanent appointments.
Including raising a complaint with the department.
I've raised it with the ministers, because Land Affairs Minister is involved, the Minister of Justice is involved. I have raised it with Parliament. I've raised the issue. I've done all that needed to be done to make sure that the right thing happens here.
And still the right thing has not happened.
No, it hasn't. And it's been lingering on for years now.
And yet we argue that land is a very important issue in the country. It's now time for Power News Headlines. We continue our conversation with Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng.
Tweet Aldrin at Aldrin Sampier.
Still in conversation with Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng on Twitter, here's a tweet that says, Aldrin, every time when I listen to Chief Justice, I get inspired, and our country needs a person like him to be a president. Chief Justice, this is coming back up again. Dumi says, and Chief Justice, I don't know how open you'd be able to be on these two particular questions, especially the one on land. Dumi says, Aldrin, please ask the Chief Justice, what is his views around land expropriation without compensation? Does he believe that the state must be the custodian of all the land? And then we have a question here from James, who says, I think the Chief Justice is also complicit in presiding over those 400 MPs who have been found wanting in the court. Ask him, why can't he excuse himself from this, from presiding over the swearing-in ceremony? Chief Justice?
Beginning with land expropriation without compensation, it's a decision that must be taken by South Africans. As Chief Justice, I can express views, but not on this one. I think the process is underway, and the likelihood is very high that the matter may come before our courts, and it would be most inappropriate if I were to pronounce myself in advance on this subject, as if I want to anticipate whatever court challenges might come. Mm. As for complicity, there is separation of powers. My constitutional responsibility as Chief Justice is to caution all constitutional office bearers, including members of Parliament, about their responsibility. That is the significance of the oath or affirmation of office. What they then do is not my responsibility. It becomes my responsibility when they fail to discharge their obligations, as happened in the past, and people bring cases to court. Then I would have, directly or indirectly, to remind themselves of what I said to them in as I was reading out the oath of office to them, and hold them accountable for failing to do for the nation what they undertook to do.
On the land issue, Chief Justice, a former Deputy Chief Justice, Tikgang Moseneke, has expressed himself on this matter. Of course, he's not part of justices that are actually actively working in the system at the moment. But here's the important issue that is raised by Deputy Chief Justice Tikgang Moseneke, is that he argues that the biggest problem in the country has been that government has never taken Section 25 of the Constitution to the courts to have it tested and let the limits of Section 25 be tested in a court of law, instead of coming up with new mechanisms of trying to deal with land restitution as well as land redistribution.
Well, all I can say is that there appears to be a number of options here. That would be one of the options. Another option is the process that the nation is embarking on right now, interrogating the possibility of land expropriation without compensation. And obviously, since they have the power to keep the Constitution as it is or to change it, it will be as a result of their informed reflection that a decision is taken one way or the other. So I don't know whether the solution necessarily, or I wouldn't want to say whether the solution lies exclusively on what my former deputy has suggested, or whether it lies elsewhere. I think that we've got to give the space to the South African public and their public representatives to express themselves on that score. When the matter comes before the courts, then we will have the opportunity to reflect on it.
Do you agree that the process has been slow when it comes to land redistribution?
Incredibly slow. I mean, remember, land was a priority during the liberation struggle. It therefore had to be prioritized for attention in terms of resources, in terms of the necessary capacity or expertise to ensure that it's resolved, even in terms of ensuring that the Land Claims Commissioner and the Land Claims Court are properly capacitated to execute this mandate with the seriousness that lies behind it. So I think we've got lessons to draw. 25 years down the line, we've got a lot of reflection to do, and we will just have to do things differently. That's the sense that I have.
Okay, let's go to the lines quickly. Tim Kulin Kilani, thank you for joining us. Please be short.
Yes, Alvin. Chief Justice, I just want to express and echo what was said by somebody else about how the judiciary really has been a bulwark. When you spoke about not wanting to be in the pockets of anyone, it reminded me of that break-in at your offices a couple of years back. To many of us, it was clearly at the height of the state capture project. And we firmly believe that it was an attempt basically to find whatever quote-unquote debt they could in order to put you and the rest of your colleagues in their back pocket. But my question really has to do with the interviews at the JSC, that where there's always this thing about tensions, especially at the SDA. It came out in 2017. It came out again this year that there are these tensions and there are no details given. But my question is, do you as the judiciary have systems in place to deal with whatever these tensions might be? Because it becomes a bit unnerving to some of us to keep hearing that there's top six of certain judges, there's uncollegial conduct, and so on and so forth. But is there a system effectively to deal with whatever tensions that are clearly there from what we hear in the interviews? Thank you, Aldrin.
Okay, and thank you so much, Tim Kool. Let's go to Zingisile in Pretoria. Good morning, Zingisile. Please be short as well.
Hello, Adrian. I just want to ask a question to the Chief Justice. My question is, Chief Justice, seeing that you are going to be swearing in people that have nothing to do with the ethics, people who say even if they vote on something in Parliament, They say ethics and conscience doesn't have anything to do with that. Is there in the law where it talks about ethics, except when we go to tertiary and we start to learn about ethics? And the fact that Chief Justice is saying he trusts that where we were raised, then we'll be able, when we get offices, then we'll take it from there. I don't trust that part. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you so much, Zingisa. And Jabu and Fleerhoff, good morning. Please be short as well. Hi, Jabu, you can go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
We are good. You can go ahead, sir.
I want to congratulate the Chief of Justice to save our country and to remind the member of the parliament how they must behave to save the South African. Well done, Chief. We honor you a bigger respect. Chief of Justice, I've got a problem about the youth of South Africa. They're not working. The big business, they're not contributing to the South Africa citizen. Chief Justice, what you've got the impact to help us, because it seems like a big business, they don't want to help the smaller businesses. Even our hospital is also they're suffering. The business, big business, they don't want to come in and help a fellow South Africans. What we must do, and us as a South African, if we raise up our say as a South African to say we're not having a job, people from outside, they're taking that smaller job. We're trying to, the business they're trying to put, they don't hear at all. What where are you standing there to protect us?
Okay, then thank you so much, Jabu and Fleerhoff. Chief Justice, couple of questions there from those three callers.
Thank you very much, and I'm grateful to those who have expressed some humbling remarks about what we do. Beginning with Mtimkulu, we have systems in place to address challenges such as those that he has alluded to at the Supreme Court of Appeal. And part of what we have been doing is to sensitize our colleagues to conduct that might be harmful to collegiality, conduct that might be harmful to others that they might not be aware of. Things like social context sensitivity training and ways of addressing egos, because at times it has more to do with egos than anything else. The progress that has been made, according to the feedback that the president of the court has given me, is encouraging. But if this persists, then there will be no choice but to refer those colleagues reportedly involved to the Judicial Conduct Committee, which deals with all allegations of misconduct against colleagues. So the bottom line is we're doing something about it and the progress is good. As for Zingisile's issue about values, you see, we've got to go back to the basics. Let's instill values. Let's go back to morality. Those structures like the moral regeneration grouping have got to seriously embark on the exercise of ensuring that respect for one another, respect for the property of others, including the property of the state, is restored and is instilled. It defines who we are. We've got to go back to ensuring that we understand and live Ubuntu. That's what I was alluding to. But if that has not been done to you, we can't expect that by the time you are an adult and you assume a position of responsibility automatically, just because of the oath, you will become something different from what you in reality are. As for youth unemployment, I think we've got to revisit the way we distribute opportunities. Mm-hmm. Because a number of opportunities that are available even at state level, you'll find that one person can amass millions in circumstances where a deeper reflection would have allowed us from that project to split it up in such a way that many people benefit from, say, one tender worth, whether it's 5 or 50 or 100 million, as many unemployed South Africans as possible get to benefit from it. We don't have to pursue trying to create millionaires. We've got to pursue creating jobs so that everybody has got what to eat.
Final question before I let you go, Chief Justice. I know you need to rush off. Is the question relating to the inaugural judicial report where you raised the issue around the number of cases being withdrawn because of the argument is made is because of insufficient evidence. And do you think at all that this is because that the officials from the court are not listening when it comes to making sure that you push cases through? Because some people find that more and more cases are being withdrawn due to lack of evidence.
No, more and more cases are withdrawn indeed due to lack of evidence, but also it takes us back to the need to inject more capacity in terms of the in the police service, National Prosecuting Authority, and even the judiciary. We need to retrain our people and make sure that those vacancies in the National Prosecuting Authority are filled so that we have got enough person power to carry out this responsibility.
Thank you so much. Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng, unfortunately, he has to rush off. He's very busy, and you probably need to go home and reflect on the requests that have come through. Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng for president.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.